97.5, The Fanatic.
And welcome to Parks Casino on Street Road in Ben Salem. It's Jason Martinez. It is normally Cousins Corner on Thursday evenings from 6 to 7. But Anthony off tonight, and I guess it's Mert's Corner tonight. And I got so much to talk about. I don't know that we can squeeze it all into an hour, but we're going to try. And where I want to start, well, first of all, before I even start with what I want to talk about tonight and for the Cousins Corner Hour, is that I heard Mike, Natalie, and Tyrone talking about orchards. Come on. If you don't like an orchard, that's like Americana. If you don't like a corn maze, you're a communist. Come on. Everybody's got to love an orchard and everything that comes with it, including the apple cider. But I digress. Let's talk about the Eagles. All right. The Eagles right now, with this record of 1-2-1, sit atop the NFC East by a half a game. And it's so interesting to me on how I always say, when you're dealing with sports, it's your expectations that determine whether you're happy in your sports happiness or sadness, or you're disappointed or you're mad or whatever. Having your expectations in order is the biggest name of the game to keep yourself sane. And look, we're in 2020. Everything's insane. But we can control our expectations. So what I'm wondering, and I want to hear from people this hour on this, is the mental approach that you're taking to the remainder of this Eagles season. How are you dealing with this season? Yeah, they're in first place. They are. And to some extent, they've earned it. As strange as that is to say, they have earned it. And maybe the fact that Doug played for the tie against Cincinnati, well, that's the reason why they're in first place. Not that they would have lost that game had they tried a field goal, but maybe they would have. But that being said, they're 1-2-1. They're going to go across the state to take on the stinking Steelers, who I can't stand. And we'll see if they can get another win on the road. It was an unlikely win against the San Francisco 49ers. I didn't see it coming. A lot of people didn't see it coming. But they got it done. And now they got a win, and they got the top spot in the division. And I want to play this cut because I think it's important. And it was Ron Jaworski talking about the Eagles and the NFC East and what it may take to win the division this year. So without further ado, here's Ron Jaworski.
It's a bad division right now. I mean, anyone that has watched the Giants, Washington, or Dallas, you know, we all watch Eagles in this town, but if you've seen those other games, it's just a bad division right now. I mean, you know, the Eagles get a win. It certainly wasn't pretty. It was gift-wrapped by Nick Mullins. Let's be realistic about this.
Sure.
He gave the game away, just like we saw Brian Hoyer on Monday night. If you get that kind of quarterback play, you know, that you're seeing pretty much consistent through this division, although Carson came back at a solid game on Sunday. It wasn't a great game, but it was solid. Didn't turn the football over, which is key. You look at this division right now, you go, oh my goodness, I mean, this could be a 5-10-1. You win in division. I think that's wrong, by the way, guys. You know, when you have that kind of record, or you know, you win, you know, just because you win a division, you get a home playoff game, which there could be an 11-5 wild card team that would have to go on the road. It just, I don't think it's competitively fair.
Well, and I agree with Jaws. If a team that was 5-10-1, if that was to play out that way, and the Eagles only win four more games of the remaining schedule, and they end up 5-10-1 and win this division, you shouldn't go to the playoffs. But, you know, with all that being said, and we've seen the flaws this year, we know of the injuries that they're dealing with, the talent that they're putting out there on the field, and Deshaun's getting healthier, and Alshon mispracticed because of some illness today. But with that being said, how are you approaching the rest of this year based on what you've seen so far? Now, the NFL season, like all sports seasons, is very long. There's a lot that can change. Could the Eagles catch fire? I don't think so. I don't think they're going to be a team that all of a sudden we go, okay, they're a team that could get not only get into the playoffs, but win a round and move on. They're not going to be a team that's going to, you know, surprise people at the end of the year, in my opinion. I just don't think they have the depth. I think they have too many aging players, too many injuries. And with aging players and injuries, that's a bad combination. I think they're a flawed football team. But so what's the mental approach in dealing with the rest of this Eagles season? Because I'm not saying they're playing out the string right now, because they're not. There's still a ton of football to go. They're only a quarter of way through the regular season schedule. We know what's on tap for the Eagles from a scheduling standpoint. Pittsburgh this week, then Baltimore, who's a good team. Then you get the Giants, who stink, but it's a division game. Dallas, who hasn't been good, but maybe they're just underperforming. And then the bye week, and then you get the Giants on the road, Cleveland, Seattle's a good football team. Green Bay, New Orleans. You get some tough opponents on the schedule. So what's the mental approach to surviving this Eagles season in a sane mind? And if they were to go 6-9-1 and make the playoffs, are you happy about that? Not that you're happy that they're 6-9-1, but are you happy they made the playoffs? Is that legit? I mean, that to me, that's embarrassing for the NFL. But how are people going to approach the remainder of this Eagles season and keep themselves sane? You know, one of the things is in the NFL, when you stink, you get a high draft pick, and that's a good opportunity to fill a glaring need. And they have a lot of glaring needs along the offensive line. They have glaring needs at linebacker. They have glaring needs all over the place. Some people still think, despite the improved performance or better performance from Carson Wentz last weekend, that could end up being a need for this team. When they drafted Jalen Hurts, I don't know if people believe in Jalen Hurts or not, but he may end up being a good quarterback at some point in the NFL, but I'm committed to Carson Wentz. So I want to know what people's mental approach is to the remainder of this Eagles season. What are your expectations for the last three quarters of the season to remain sane? That's number one. Number two, and I want to talk about this too, because Nick Foles is taking on Tom Brady. The game is tonight, as a matter of fact. The Bears and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay now a 3.5-point favorite at Chicago. Went from 6 down to 3.5. So I know this conversation has taken place about, do you root for Nick Foles or not? And I get the angle because it's Foles versus Brady, and that was Super Bowl 52. And I get the angle of, you know, anytime anybody plays against Tom Brady because he was a part of the evil empire and the New England Patriots, that you want him to lose. I don't have a rooting interest in the game. And frankly, I don't care whether Nick Foles wins or loses tonight. I really don't. I have no preference. So when people say, are you going to root for Foles to beat Brady tonight? I go, you know what? I'll pass. I appreciate what Nick Foles did here. But I got to be honest. The conversation of Wentz Foles through all these years since the Super Bowl, and they did the right thing, they did the wrong thing, has turned me off to Nick Foles. So I have no desire to see him win tonight. I have no desire to see him lose. I'm completely ambivalent on it. And I know some people are, you know, the Folesian society wants to see him do great, and so they can rub Eagle fans' nose in it that they made the wrong decision. But I really don't give a damn if Nick Foles wins tonight. I didn't care when Chase Utley came here if he got a hit. And if I was at that Phillies game when he had the two home runs, I wouldn't have given him the curtain call because he's not a member of your team anymore. You can appreciate what a player did for you, but not have to root for them at another location. That's just my rule. I mean, you can do whatever you want. But as far as rooting for Nick Foles tonight, I'll take a pass. No thanks. I really don't care. I appreciate what Nick Foles did here, and when he retires, he'll be remembered forever for what he brought to Philadelphia. But as far as rooting for him, I don't care. 610-632-0975. That is the number to get in. 610-632-0975. I want to get your thoughts on that. What is your mental approach? What are your expectations for the remainder of this Eagles season? They're going to take on the Steelers in the Berg at Heinz Field coming up on Sunday. The Eagles, a 7.5-point dog on the road. Over-under for the game, 44.5 points. And look, are you going to bet them with that number again? It was the same number last week against the 49ers. They obviously covered the number, and they came away with the win. Cash money line winner. You like them this week? You like them to get their second win going across the state to take on the Steelers? I hate the Steelers. I really do. I was ambivalent about the Steelers growing up until I went to Penn State and had the Steelers shoved down my throat. So now I'm turned off to them forever. Not to mention the fact that my wife is from Western Pennsylvania, and my father-in-law and my brother-in-law are both huge Steeler fans. With their Now, I will admit their uniforms are gorgeous, but their stupid black and gold yellow uniforms annoy me as well. I don't think it's a great spot for the Eagles this week. I really don't. The Steelers didn't play last week. It's a pseudo bye week. They're sitting there laying in wait. Eagles traveling again. Not that you're playing in, against on the road and having to deal with fans, because there will be some fans there, but it won't be obviously a packed house like a normal regular season. Can those 5,500 fans make a ton of noise? We'll see. 610-632-0975. And lastly, too, I'd love to get people's thought on this. You know, with the death of Eddie Van Halen, tragic loss. He was a great, great musician, a great guitar player, revolutionized the instrument, and took what Jimi Hendrix did and took it to the next level. But I got to tell you that Eddie Van Halen and the guitar, just the instrument, has replaced the piano as the most important instrument in music. All right? I have a power ranking of the most important instruments in music in the year 2020. And the piano is not number one anymore. No. It is the guitar. When rock and roll exploded, it became the guitar, and it remains to this day. 610-632-0975. Let's get to the phones. We start out in Bethlehem. Greg joins us on The Fanatic. Greg, how are you?
Hey, Jason, I'm good. As far as the Eagles season, you know, I'd sort of like to see an opportunity for Doug to see how creative he can be and whether he can realize Wentz plays better out of the pocket, and also see how the defense does. My head says they'd be better off, you know, losing as many games as they can to get a better draft pick, assuming they have somebody that can figure out who to draft.
Well, there's the key, right? Howie Roseman, is he? No matter where you pick, is he going to get it right?
Yeah, he's a wild card. As far as Foles go, you know, I always sort of had a soft spot for Nick after he took us to the promised land, and I don't root hard for him, but I'd like to see him beat Brady tonight.
Is that more because Nick Foles, what he did here, or is that more just because you want to see Brady lose?
Well, you know, it's an additive effect.
So it's a little bit of a combination of both, maybe, for you.
Yeah, I've never liked Tom for whatever reason.
Why don't you like him, though? I mean, other than the fact that he played for New England, they had all that success. Is success the reason why you don't like Brady? Because that's the case a lot of times in sports. We hate super successful. We like to build people up and then knock them down.
Well, it's a combination. You know, he was married to Belichick, you know, and when you're that good, you don't have to cheat. And I don't know of any other teams, well, other than the Astros, I guess, you know, that have had those kinds of controversies.
Well, look, they've gotten caught. Every professional athlete's looking for an edge. And they all try to bend the rules. But the Patriots got pinched a couple times in a pretty glorious fashion.
Yeah. And I, you know, I kind of enjoyed that. But that's one of the reasons why I don't like Tom.
Okay.
I had wanted to ask you about the Flyers. You know, it seemed to me that they were lacking a big guy that could skate somebody off the puck. And did they get somebody that might do that?
Well, but not, the defenseman that they picked in the second round is definitely not that guy. He's an undersized guy. But they have some big bodies that can, you know, that can do that. Phil Myers, the guy that did it. Travis Sanheim, Provorov to some extent. And then obviously a guy like Kevin Hayes or Michael Raffel, they have those guys. You want more speed. To me, Greg, thanks for the call. You want more speed and you want more skill. That's what you want. And look, everybody wants Patrick Laine and his name's out there and they're attached to it. We'll see if that happens. All right, 610-632-0975. So he raised an interesting point. Like, to the game tonight, Tampa Bay and the Bears, and it's Nick Foles versus Brady. Rematch of Super Bowl 52, albeit with a different team. And the reason to not like Tom Brady for a lot of people is the affiliation, obviously, with the Patriots. And, you know, we know about Spygate, and that cost the Eagles, apparently, back in the 2004 season, 2005 Super Bowl in Jacksonville. And then Deflategate and everything. And if Tom Brady's so great, why does he have to cheat? I think everybody knows at this point that in sports at high levels, they're doing everything they can to bend rules, gain an advantage in any way, shape, or form that they can. That's what happens. And the Patriots have gotten caught a couple times, and it's been sensationalized. Now, the tapes were burned and all kinds of different you know, angles to that story and the level of proof that the NFL had or what they overlooked. And look, we don't know what the NFL has overlooked in regards to other teams. They never want to showcase the fact that their teams, maybe using the word cheat, that happens, because that calls into integrity the product for which they put out and is gambled on a tremendous amount. So they never want to accentuate that stuff, but sometimes you can't avoid it. And when it comes to Brady, I respect Tom Brady. I'm glad that I've gotten to watch his entire career. It's been a spectacle to watch the greatest NFL player of all time. Couple that with the fact that he was taken 199th overall in the sixth round way back when. He's been doing it forever. And look, I don't hate Tom Brady. I don't hate Bill Belichick. I respect what they did. A lot of times when a professional athlete or whatever has tremendous success and repeated success, then people want to start to knock them down. I don't know why that is. You see it with LeBron. People want to knock LeBron down. And he's been a great player, and he's been a really good citizen overall. I mean, in this age where everybody's got a camera in their pocket and can take pictures or video, you never see LeBron caught up in any mess. Now, the other night, he walked off the court with 10 seconds left in the game and what I think was a really bad look. But he's a great player, but people want to knock them down, at least until their career is over. Then you want to build them up again because you can't watch them play anymore. But with Brady, I don't want to knock Brady's career down. I'm just glad that I got to witness it. Just like Peyton Manning, I loved watching Peyton Manning. I didn't resent any of his success, and he didn't have the same level of success as Tom Brady. And look, I appreciate what Nick Foles did here with the Eagles. It was great. It was unexpected, which made it even greater. But I don't need to root for him. I'm not rooting for him to win. I'm not rooting for him to lose. I don't have a horse in the race, so I really don't care who wins the game. So watching that game tonight, my only thought when it comes to that game tonight, I like to see a good, entertaining football game. Two teams going back and forth, and a good game with great passes and great play calling and great defensive. I want to see it all. I don't care who wins unless I got money on it. If I'm betting the Bears tonight, then yeah, I want to see Nick Foles have success and win. But that would be the only reason. Or if I had Nick Foles in a fantasy league, which I don't. I'm not in one, so I don't have that. So I really don't care who wins the game tonight. But there's a lot of people that believe that because of what Nick Foles did here in Philadelphia, that we should be rooting for him tonight.
What?
They believe that, Nat. That you should be rooting for Nick Foles to win tonight because of what he accomplished here in Philadelphia. And when Chase Utley went to a World Series with the Dodgers, I didn't care. I don't care if he gets another ring. That doesn't matter to me. Chase Utley, good guy. Tremendous player here. Appreciate his career. I don't care if he gets another ring. That doesn't matter to me.
Yeah, and the emotion for me is gone at this point with Foles and Brady. I don't care who wins. In fact, you know, if anything, maybe I'd rather see Brady win tonight.
Why's that?
Just to see that, to prove that he can win without Belichick and with another franchise, because Tampa Bay has struggled recently, and he's played well for them lately. I mean, he has Gronk again, so I would like to see what he can do in this revenge game, if you can even call it a revenge game, against Nick Foles and the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, see, I think that's an interesting dynamic, and I agree with you. I'm interested to see, that's one of the storylines heading into this season, one of the big storylines, is Brady without Belichick, Belichick without Brady. What kind of success can they have without each other? And look, we've had the debates about Brady made Belichick, Belichick made Brady, all of these things over the years. The fact of the matter is they made each other. They were both complementary, and they worked well together, and that's why they had the success that they had. I don't think it was one guy over the other. I would call it a 50-50 split. I think it's one of the interesting storylines, though, that you bring up. And I'm not rooting for Tom Brady because of that, but I'm intrigued by that to see if Brady can have success without Belichick. Absolutely. Totally agree. But I want to hear from some of the fans that believe we should be rooting for Nick Foles just because of what he did here a few years ago in that magical run, which led to the first Super Bowl championship and parade in Philadelphia. Why? why should I root for Nick Foles because of what he did here when he's not here anymore? Why should I have rooted for Chase Utley or given Chase Utley a curtain call? I thought that was wrong of the Phillies fans to give Utley that curtain call when he was banging up Phillies pitching, causing them to get a loss. I think it was late in the year as well, and the Phillies needing wins at that point, maybe in August, if I recall. 610-632-0975. And also, your mental approach on how you're going to deal with the remainder of this Eagles season. What is your expectation? And you heard Jaws. We played the cut. 5-10-1. If they were to go 5-10-1 and make the playoffs, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, is that a... That's not any kind of win. We're not dumb. You know, we're Philadelphia sports fans are educated enough to know that that's not a legit playoff team. That's the system, and they would get in, and they would have a home game and perhaps play an 11-5 team. I get it. But I wouldn't be celebrating it. I wouldn't be treating that playoff game like I would if they were a team that went 10-6. If you go 5-10-1 or even go 7-9, that's not legit to me. But how are you kind of mentally approaching the remainder of this Eagles season? And did they get the job done this week? Look, that was a big win and a shocking win over the 49ers. Now, they were banged up. You know, Bosa's out, and they had some guys on their D-line that were missing that game, and obviously Jimmy Garoppolo and Nick Mullins. We understand why they got the win. The fact that they got it, though, is still it was shocking to me. And now all of a sudden they're sitting in the top spot in the division with a record of 1-2-1. Small sample size, but they're still at the top of the division, and the rest of the division stinks. Not one team in the division is plus in the plus-minus points for points allowed. 610-632-0975. Also, we mentioned Eddie Van Halen, who passed away a couple days ago. Kim Batiste also passed away at the age of 52. And Kim Batiste had one of the bigger plays in Phillies history, at least recent history, since 1980. And the call from Harry Callis, we'll play that for you coming up. And Kim Batiste had one of those names that you love to hear Harry Callis say. What do I mean by that? I mean, he could make that name, the two syllables that it was, felt like 10 syllables the way that Harry said it. And watching the highlights today from Kim Batiste and hearing Harry, maybe Miss Harry Callis as well. 610-632-0975. We are live at Parks. Cousins Corner, Anthony off tonight. And it is football season. Yes, it is. Tons going on. We talked about the game tonight. How about it? Tampa Bay, 3.5-point favorite over the Bears in Chicago. Nick Foles, Tom Brady. It was 6. Now it's 3.5. Do you like a side? How about the Birds, 7.5-point road dog in Pittsburgh, over under 44.5. Well, football season is in full swing, and like you, I love all the home teams. After all, that's why I don't care about rooting for Nick Foles. It's all about the home team, right? Well, that's why I go with the home team, and I have the home field advantage when it comes to sports betting. That's my guys here at Parks Casino Sportsbook. Now, they're right here in Bucks County. That means your action, your money, it's safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app, and it's right here in Pennsylvania. The only sportsbook backed by the number one casino in all of PA. Look, you don't need to leave your money and sports bets to a faceless overseas company or one so big that they forget about the customer. That's not what they do at Parks. Just go with my guys, my team at Parks Casino Sportsbook, the home team, and you can sign up now and get a risk-free bet up to $500. That's right, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's P-A-R-X, casino.com/PA, and use my promo code Jason, J-A-S-O-N, and get your risk-free bet up to $500. Now, their website has got all the details. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet, but you do need to be over 21 and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Nice. Panama from the 1984 album, which came out in what year, Nat?
1984.
Thank you. Good job. That'd have been weird if it came out in 85. Good thing it didn't get delayed. Because 1984 sounds right. 1985 doesn't sound so good.
Perfect album to end with David Lee Roth on, at least his first one with the band.
There you go. The great guitarist Eddie Van Halen passing away a couple days ago at the age of 65. Hard to believe Eddie Van Halen, 65, lost his battle with cancer, and one of the great guitar players of all time. We're going to get back to this Eagles conversation about your approach to the remainder of this season as they sit at 1-2-1 atop in the top spot in the NFC East, and how you're kind of weighing your expectations in regard to the final now 12 games of the season, four down, 12 to go. And, you know, if they end up winning this division at 6-8-1, or as Jaws said in that cut, 5-10-1 that we played, you know, would you be happy they made the playoffs with that kind of record? I wouldn't be happy, because I'd just be so mad that the team is that far off right now and they have so many holes that they need to fill. Now, you look at the silver lining and everything, and the silver lining is, well, if you have a 5-10-1 record, you're going to be drafting pretty high and you can get a piece. Problem is the guy making the decision on the drafting is part of the reason why they're in the predicament that they're in with so many bad draft picks and a lack of ability to judge talent and develop it at the NFL level. But that being said, what is your mental approach to the remainder of this Eagle season to keep yourself sane? Again, expectations with everything are what keep you sane. If you know, whether it's your job, your boss, sports, if you're always expecting an extreme amount from the people around you, from your employer, from your sports teams, you're going to be disappointed. No, we hope nobody gets disappointed. When it comes to a raise, if your boss says, I'm going to give you a raise, and your expectation is, I'm going to get 20 grand, and then you get five, you're disappointed, right? You have to control your expectation. I'm getting a raise. Well, I hope it's a couple thousand. You get five, now boom. Oh, that's way more than I thought. Now you're happy. That's controlling your expectations. So what is your expectation for the remainder of this Eagle season to not drive yourself crazy? Now, I remember, you know, we had these conversations pre-2017 all the time. We always talked about, I'd take 10 years of the Eagles sucking to win one Super Bowl. Well, that might be the case. That may end up happening. Would you sacrifice it all over again? It's easier said on the front side of it until you have to live through the backside. Also, Nick Foles, I want to hear, I haven't got anybody calling yet saying that they're going to be rooting for Nick Foles tonight, and explain to me why. 610-632-0975. Now, there's going to be some fans at the game this week at Heinz Field. So, Nat, I want to ask you first and foremost, if you were out there in Pittsburgh, or say this game was in Philly against the Steelers, and they were allowing 5,500 fans into the game, and they had some sort of lottery system to get tickets, would you be looking for a ticket to the game? Would you want to go to the game?
Personally, no. I do not feel safe going to any kind of sporting event right now, especially with cases rapidly rising in Philadelphia.
Okay. You know, obviously 5,500 fans in a stadium that holds 60 is going to be, you know, they're going to be sparse. They're going to be obviously socially distanced.
Correct.
Walking in and dealing with the crowds and lines and beverages and the bathrooms is not going to obviously be as crowded as it was before. They're going to put all the safety precautions they can. You're still not comfortable doing it?
I would, if I were to go at all, I would definitely be very, very cautious about it. If a friend invited me to go, then maybe I would go with said friend. But on my own, I would not feel comfortable going to an Eagles game at this point in time.
Okay. I wouldn't go to the Eagles game. I don't like going to NFL games. I prefer to watch that the NFL on TV. I think they do such a good job presenting the product on television that I would prefer to watch it from home, even when there's 100% capacity. I don't like dealing with crowds. Obviously, it's not a big crowd. But, I mean, I would probably be more apt to go to a game with 5,500 fans than I would 65,000, to be honest with you, and things were normal. But I would go. If I had an opportunity as a fan to go to a Flyers game right now with, you know, let's kind of take it back, say 2,000 people at the Wells Fargo Center, obviously socially distanced and mass and everything else, I would go.
See, now you're tempting me. That's where you're really tempting me. Although I would feel safer at the Eagles game as opposed to the Flyers game because the virus, it spreads fast indoors. So that's why I would prefer to go to the Eagles game.
To be at an outdoor venue. Yeah, I mean, I would go. I'd feel safe enough that I'm going to, you know, not touch things and stay socially distanced and wear my mask and wash my hands and do all that stuff. And I would feel comfortable with it. I really would. 610-632-0975. You know, I saw this quote. I was reading a story, and I saw this quote, and it was, the story was about some of the ratings issues that pro sports are having right now. And, you know, it came up because the NBA Finals games 1, 2, and 3 were historically low. They're just not having good ratings. Now, they're competing with more sports than they've had to compete with. Usually the NBA Finals, obviously, are in mid, you know, early in mid-June. And the sports landscape is just baseball at that point. But now they're dealing with playoff baseball. They're dealing with the NFL. They dealt with the NHL to some extent. And just sports returning, there's a glut. So the ratings have been really, really alarmingly down. I mean, you look at it. I mean, 5.7 people watched game two, 5.7 million people. For the NBA, that's really bad. I mean, you're talking about numbers that they haven't seen in the NBA in over 30 years. That's how far they're down. Now, other sports are down, too. Portions. But that being said, you know, one of the things in the quotes it said in the story, and it really kind of hit me, and I wonder if people had a thought on it, is this. It says, the quote, lack of fans in the stands is a psychological cue to sports fans that these games don't mean as much. The crowd going crazy is part of the allure of watching sports on TV. Crowd goes wild is an expression for a reason. I don't agree. The lack of fans doesn't affect my willingness, desire, enjoyment of watching a game at all. It really doesn't. So the lack of fans in the stands as a psychological cue that these games don't mean as much, I understand why there's no fans in the stand. It's not like they just plucked fans out of the stands and without a pandemic going on. We understand why. So to me, that there's no psychological cue there for me. But that, I thought that was really interesting. And the notion that the crowd going crazy is part of watching, of the allure of watching sports on TV. Yeah, I love the swings and hearing a crazy environment on television, but that's not, that doesn't have any allure for me. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Rocky on the cell on the Fanatic. What's up, Rock?
How you guys doing?
What's up, buddy?
All right, so my point real quick, ton to talk about, but I would love to see the Eagles, and this is going to sound weird, either do horrendous, you know, 4-11-1, or they sneak into the playoffs. I don't want anything in between because I'm tired of being in limbo.
What if they sneak into the playoffs with a record of 6-9-1?
6-9-1 doesn't do me any good. If they make the playoffs, no matter what, it's a pick we don't care about. I don't think the front office is going to make a great pick either way. But I really want to see something happen either with the front office, with the quarterback, with the head coach, and that's only going to happen if things go really, really poorly or really, really well. This in-between stuff, in Philadelphia, we can't handle it. We can't handle any more of, oh, we don't know what's going to happen. We have talent, but they're not going to do anything.
Okay, so there's a means to an end. If they're going to fail spectacularly, and therefore that will force change. Now, what is the change that you would like that to force?
I just really don't think Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz are like the match made in heaven. I don't think the two of them with the front office is something that this team is ever going to be, you know, one of the best in the NFL that way. And that's fine. They're all
right. So you got to pick one. One stays, one goes. Who are you keeping? Are you keeping Carson or are you keeping Doug?
I would like to keep Carson Wentz. I think Doug Peterson is a phenomenal coach. But I listened to this the other day. It's like once someone wins a championship, that's the coach they are. Everyone's like, oh, they're a good coach because they won a championship. What has Doug Peterson himself done since then? Carson Wentz has been throwing I could have been playing wide receiver, but he's doing the best he can. The coaching staff, I don't think, is putting him in a position to.
Well, the general manager hasn't put the coaching staff in an advantageous position either. You know that.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
It's a mess, and most messes start from the top down. So if it's a change
If I'm coming up with the pecking order, Rock, I'm going, if the means to the end, and I'm not there on the means to the end yet, but if the means is, if they're going to fail spectacularly because it's going to force change, the first change I would want it to force is Howie Roseman, then Doug Peterson, then Carson Wentz. And I don't think that Jeff Lurie has an appetite to fire Howie Roseman. I think the more likely scenario would be to make Howie the president
that handles contracts and handles the fiduciary responsibility for the Eagles.
Absolutely.
And bring in a proper general manager that can assess talent and draft.
Absolutely, because, you know, how many years now have we been drafting, praying some guy's going to be better than he is, and all of a sudden we're ending up with a J.J. Arcega-Whiteside,
yep,
who not feeling too great about that.
Instead of D.J. Metcalf.
But
yeah, you're right.
I will say they will be the Steelers this week because it's going to be the ugliest game of football I think we've seen in years.
Mm, interesting. Okay. Well, I mean, the Steelers, thanks for the call, are coming off, what I guess, a pseudo-bye week because they didn't play last week because they were postponed. I'm not sure how that's going to affect this game. I don't think it's going to have an element of rust for the Steelers at this point. But we'll see if there is any effect there. Now, you know, the other thing that he talks about is I don't want the in-between. You either want them to be a legit playoff team or not like an 8-8 team or a 7-9 team. Because if they're going to not make the playoffs, I want them to fail miserably. And spectacularly is the word I used. And some people look at that and say, well, that's you being a bad fan. Now, if they fail spectacularly, it means they have more holes to fill. Because they were really, really bad. They do have a lot of holes to fill. And if they fail spectacularly, that's not going to change what they have to fill or not. Now they're going to have a higher draft pick in every round and obviously the fallout of that. But I'm not wishing for the Eagles to fail spectacularly this season. I think they may do that on their own, but I'm not wishing for that to force change. Because, again, I don't think Jeff Lurie has an appetite to dethrone Howie Roseman. I really don't. Let's go to Tom in West Grove on the Fanatic. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Jason. How you doing, man?
Yeah, in West Grove in Chester County there out by Oxford?
Yes, it is, actually.
Oh, okay. Beautiful country out there.
Yeah, it is. It's a beautiful place for sure. Well, I hope you're doing well, and I'm just calling in just to talk Eagles and my expectation for the Eagles and for Wentz for the rest of the season.
All right.
Just to go 8-7-1, and I think Wentz needs to try to get everyone involved, too, and for the rest of the season. And I think for
Who's
Eagles,
everyone, though?
On,
I mean, is that Deshaun Jackson, Alshon Jeffrey, or is that Fulham?
That's like Fulham, Alshon, Deshaun, Sanders.
Yeah, Ertz and Goddard, once everybody's healthy and get everybody involved. I see what you're saying.
Yeah, and I want to talk about the matchups, too. I think that for the Eagles to win on Sunday, because the Steelers is to run the ball and pass the ball away from Mitchell Fitzpatrick and Mike Hilton. And another, because they're the two, because besides Bud Dupree and T.J. Watt on the defense side of the ball, those two are really good in their secondary.
I think Watt's banged up. I saw something on him today.
Who?
T.J. Watt.
Oh, yeah. And then another way that they can win is to put pressure on Big Ben and to try to force turnovers. Also, the matchup that I'm looking forward to is Darius Slay on Juju Smith-Schuster or Deontay Johnson. I think that will be a good matchup, too.
Yeah. Yeah, T.J. Watt did not practice today. He's got a minor knee issue, but it is not expected to cause him to miss any game action, according to Steelers Nation on Twitter, which is terrifying. So we'll see. Yeah, so he'll probably be active. To your point,
yeah, I think if Miles Sanders comes in the backfield and does a little hit on Bud Dupree or T.J. Watt, then mm-hmm. goes out for a little swing pass, that will work too.
Okay, now let me ask you this. If the game was in Philadelphia, would you put your name in the hat to go to the game and be one of the 5,500 fans?
Probably not, just because I'd rather be safe than watch a football game.
Okay.
But I do enjoy watching it on TV, too, so I can pay attention.
Okay. Hey, Tommy, thanks, man. Appreciate the call.
Thanks for taking my call, Jason. Good talking to you, man.
You as well, man. Enjoy the game on Sunday. We'll see if the Eagles can get a win. They're getting 7.5 points in Pittsburgh. It's a shame that we're dealing with this pandemic because that would have been a really fun full house of Eagle fans traveling across the state to take on a cross-state rival. And they don't play all the time. They don't play very often. It's not like the Flyers and the Penguins. And the Pirates really are not a rival of the Phillies because they're in the American League and Pirates are never any good. Not that the Phillies are, but it's not a rival. The only rival with Philly and Pittsburgh is, the cheesesteak versus the Permane Brothers sandwich and the Flyers and the Penguins. But I hate the Steelers. I can't stand the Steelers.
Me too. I hate the Steelers more than I hate the Cowboys.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I respect the Steelers. I think they're a well-run organization. They've had tons of stability. You know, they've had three coaches in, what, 45 years? From Chuck Knoll to Cowher to Tomlin. Well, that's stability. I think they've handled things, a lot of things the right way. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of the Steelers. Not a team I ever root for.
No, that terrible towel too. No, get rid of that thing. I hate it.
Yeah, Myron
Cope. So much.
Yeah, Myron Cope created the terrible towel. The old Myron Cope was their local, one of their analysts on the Steelers broadcast, and he certainly had a flavor to Pittsburgh and unto its own. 610-632-0975. All right, hey Nat, here we got to do this because we talked about Eddie Van Halen, and you know, I put my top five most important musical instruments in the year 2020 for rock music, or for just music in general. And the guitar at some point passed the piano. The piano was always, you know, the creme de la creme. Mozart writing on a piano. You know, Pachelbel, or a little, you know, so Chopin. Some of the great composers throughout the different eras, the Romantic era or the Baroque period. But the guitar is past the piano is the most important instrument.
It's so fundamental to rock music.
Oh, it is, yeah. Well, the piano is still number two. And the piano is ahead of drums and bass. But so why is the piano ahead? Because you can play the piano by itself, and it still sounds like a song. Same with the guitar. You play the bass by itself, and you got to have a really fine ear to know what song the bass is playing for the most part. Same thing with the drums. It just sounds like beating on drums. You don't know the song unless you're playing like When the Levee Breaks by Zeppelin. You know it, right? So I go guitar, piano, drums, bass, and then I go cello. I'm a big fan of the cello. You know, we see a lot of bands nowadays will have a little classical instrument accompaniment in their songs, whether that's even in REM's, what's the song called? Losing My Religion, which I just watched this in-depth thing on Netflix on. So the cello's in there as well. But my top five favorite guitar players. Now, again, this isn't the best guitar players, Nat. This isn't the most talented guitar players. It's the top five that I like. All right? So nobody can call and tell me I'm wrong for liking who I like. And these, again, aren't the best guitar players, but my favorite guitar players. Number five, the Godfather, Tony Iommi from Black Sabbath. Number four, James Page, Led Zeppelin, the great Jimmy Page. Number three, Eddie Van Halen. Number two, the invenerable Dimebag Darrell. And number one, James Hetfield from Metallica. That's my top five. Hetfield, Dimebag, Eddie Van Halen, Page, and Iommi. And I'm proud to say that I have seen every one of those guitar players live. Every one of them. The only one I actually never met was Eddie Van Halen. I was lucky enough to meet the other four at some point. But Hetfield, Dimebag, Eddie Van Halen, Page, and Iommi. Who's your top five?
So my top five, number one is Dimebag because Pantera is my favorite band.
Nice.
Slash is number two because I love Guns N' Roses, and Slash is just the epitome of cool, in my opinion. Eddie Van Halen, number three, because he is at an S-tier level talent of being able to play with such virtuoso and also being able to write and play catchy songs and turn into mega hits. That's an S-tier level talent to be able to do both, and he was able to accomplish that, so he's number three. Kurt Cobain, number four, because for me, it's nostalgia value. I was going to put Kerry King from Slayer, number five, but actually, this one, I'm gonna bring something in from left field here. I'm putting Tim Morstrom from the band Avatar in there.
Okay. I'll have to check him out, but Eddie Van Halen, to me, is every bit of what Mozart was, like guys like that. Like we look back and you go, how can he be considered with Mozart? Same kind of influence. It's incredible. The stuff that he wrote and was able to perform and the way he blazed a new trail with the instrument and opened it up and two hands and the tapping. And it really is incredible. Huge loss for the music world. So there you go. There's the two top fives. And we're going to wrap things up here from Parks. Stay tuned. Devon is coming up next. He's got you. Beginning at 7 o'clock right here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Thanks to everybody here at Parks Casino. Filling in for Cousins Corner, Anthony, I believe, will be back on the midday program tomorrow at 10 a.m. In the meantime, thanks for listening. And got to tell you about Parks one more time before we get out of here, though, because there's so much going on in the world of sports. You got a PGA event this weekend. How about that? Throw a couple shekels on Bryson DeChambeau at 7.5 to 1, or Jason Day at 33 to 1. Big college football card, Notre Dame, FSU. How about Georgia taking on Tennessee, Clemson, Miami? Tons of action to get in on, not to mention the entire pro card and everything else going on, including the NBA Finals. Football season is in full swing, and we got to love the home teams. How about Birds, +7.5 in Pittsburgh? Well, it's all about the home team, and that's why I go with the home team here at Parks Casino. They give you the home field advantage, and when it comes to sports betting, the guys at Parks Casino Sportsbook, they got it right here in Bucks County. They're local. Best casino in Pennsylvania, number one casino in PA. That means your action and your money are safe and secure on their easy-to-use sports betting app. Now, the only sportsbook backed by the number one casino in all of PA. So don't leave your money to your sports bets to a faceless overseas company or one so big that they forget about the customer. Go with my guys, my team at Parks Casino Sportsbook, the home team. And if you sign up now, you're going to get a risk-free bet up to $500. Yeah, $500. So just do yourself a favor. Download the app or go to the parkscasino.com/PA. That's parkscasino.com/PA. And use promo code Jason to get your risk-free bet up to $500. Now, their website, it's got all the details laid out for you. Check it out. Your risk-free bet is refunded on your loss as a free bet. You must be 21 and present in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.